technology as it is today means that not only is it more accessible to more people, but the enterprise is learning too that we don't actually need all those people. They're better off outsourcing to companies like what Jurisdeed is building. They're better off reducing staff and focusing on what they're best at. Jurisdeed is a software company that is democratizing access to a very misunderstood and out of touch investment class called tax sale investing. We need to really cover all of the fears that most investors have that would prevent them from getting involved or would make them sit on the sidelines. These are the fears that if you overcome them, these are the barriers that the institutions have overcome, right? So we're going to help you break through those. And to do that,
quick note before we continue, nothing we discuss in this podcast should be considered legal, financial, or investment advice. Tax lien laws vary significantly by state, and every property situation and investor is unique. Always consult with qualified legal and financial professionals in your jurisdiction before making any investment decisions. Now, let's get back to the show.
Welcome to the Jurisdeed Podcast. My name is George Jackson. I'm here with Stephen Morrell. I'm the co-founder. He's the founder of Jurisdeed and also the CEO. And so, Stephen, why don't you tell us a little bit about Jurisdeed and get this cranked up?
Yeah, Jurisdeed is a software company that is democratizing access to a very misunderstood and out-of-touch investment class called tax sale investing. These are delinquent property taxes that the county is trying to collect and have not been able to. So they sell them to investors at a very high interest rate so they can collect the money to run the county that year. This has been going on for a very long time, over a century, because of how important collecting real estate taxes and funding the county. But unfortunately, only a handful of the wealthiest, most sophisticated institutions have been able to take advantage of it due to artificial barriers like complexity and illiquidity and just cumbersome processes, et cetera. But they're making a tremendous amount of money doing it. But yet it's available technically to anybody.
Okay. So it's available, but it's, you know, as you've mentioned before, it's pretty complex. And so how would an investor, you know, why now? Like, we're doing a 10-episode series on tax sales in Louisiana and the commensurate laws.
Right.
So why now? Like, what's so important about this time when it relates to not only Louisiana tax sales, but, you know, nationally?
Well, nationally, it's technology. Like, so most of the barriers we're talking about here that would push other people out or really made it just so confusing and complex that they don't even try participating in the investment class. Are things that can be mitigated by modern technology like artificial intelligence and predictive analytics and things that we're using with Jurisdeed to make this work on a national level. Every state has different laws. So speaking about Louisiana has not only are they different state by state, but different states then change their laws from time to time.
Just so the listeners understand, didn't you help write the law? And as it's written in Louisiana, did you help write that at some point?
Yeah. So I was asked to be on a committee that helped advise the legislature on changing Louisiana's tax sale code. So all the laws that regulate how delinquent taxes are collected, enforced, and how investors participate. I was on that committee for a number of years, and eventually the legislature passed some version of that in 2024, and it goes into effect in just a couple of days. As we're recording this today, on January 29th, 2025, it goes into effect on the first of the year. And it completely changed the entire system. And in a good way, mostly for allowing more people to participate and making it more fair.
How so? How did they make it more fair?
Well,
I mean, I don't want to go down the rabbit hole because, I mean...
Yeah, here's the thing. We're going to break this down into 10 episodes for a reason. Because this isn't guesswork, and this is serious business, right? This is about people's investments and about getting it right as much as possible. And if we're going to create technology to help guide people into making good decisions and being successful in their journey of investing in tax sales, we need to really cover all of the fears that most investors have that would prevent them from getting involved or would make them sit on the sidelines. These are the fears that if you overcome them, these are the barriers that the institutions have overcome, right? So we're going to help you break through those. And to do that, we're going to use Louisiana as the first example. First of all, it's where I started my professional journey. And so it's where we'll kick off this podcast in getting you, the listener, the information you need to be successful starting in 2026, where the whole landscape in Louisiana has changed anyway. Yeah.
But at its highest level, which are, if I'm reading between the lines and, you know, for the listeners' edification, you're saying that the bigger companies have been able to realize these returns because they had the resources to actually get these through to liquidity. And what you're saying is through technology and AI and a lot of the ways other industries are advancing.
Right.
This is kind of one of the early advances in this space.
Is that what you're saying? We've seen this as a trend in the tech space where they're, you know, it's making many things more accessible to more people, right? And Robinhood did this with stock investing.
Okay.
It seemed like where that was very difficult to get to break into if you had never invested in stocks before.
Right.
How do I do this? Well, they solved that. They said, here's a way. Just create an account, click this button, and you're in. Right.
Okay.
They demystified it, simplified it, and made it accessible.
And so what you're saying is that's what you're doing with Jurisdeed?
It's exactly what we're doing. And that's more complicated because it involves application of a lot of state laws and in compliance and things that are really not as relevant with stock investing. And you're talking about a hard fixed asset of real estate,
right,
which has its own unique problems of the liquidity, long holding times, et cetera. And so, but yes, conceptually, it's the same mission. Is making this simplified and streamlined and accessible to anyone.
And I would imagine that episodes 2 through 10 will kind of talk about the how and a lot of the nuts and bolts.
Right.
But this episode from our preparation is more about the why behind all this. Can you walk the listeners through just real quickly, why is it so important for these municipalities to collect these taxes? What happens if they don't collect all the taxes?
Well, they could go bankrupt, first off, which would be, you know,
bad,
devastating. Obviously, if you are a resident of that county, they create a budget every year. They need to collect. And there's two outcomes if they don't collect enough tax. Both of them are bad.
Yeah.
Number one is everyone who's paying tax on time have to have their taxes raised, right? You have to meet the budget somehow, or you reduce the budget. One of the two things, and neither of them are good results for the people who live in that community. What do taxes typically pay for? Police, fire, roads, unless you live in New Orleans, of course. And then, you know, all basic public services. And so and every single year, and, you know, a 20% non-collection rate on any one year would bankrupt most counties. So you have to collect, but it doesn't change the fact that over time, there's a certain percentage of people who will fall behind and won't be able to pay in a given year. So there come the investors who plug that gap, who pay for the delinquent taxes on behalf of the person who didn't pay it on time, allows the county or the parish in Louisiana to fund their budget for that year and move on to the next year. Now, of course, that opens up the whole investment part of this, which we'll get into later, but that's the concept behind it and why it's so important.
Right. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure the listeners understood that it wasn't, you know, there's obviously more to it than just, you know, investing in distressed real estate. There's a foundational element to it, and it's so that municipalities can function.
Correct. There's also a local element to this. You know, when you're investing in stocks, it's some company that's part of a portfolio, and you're in this company's in Chicago or New York, whatever, you don't know anything about the company. Yeah. You're trying to make a return, right? And ultimately, that's the main goal if you're an investor in tax liens. But if you're a local tax investor, meaning that you're investing in tax liens against properties in your hometown, you are actually performing a service. You are actually helping that property and by extension, that property owner. Because over about 90% of all taxes that are sold to investors will be paid back in time before any legal repercussions occur, like a foreclosure. And so effectively it becomes like a short-term low interest loan for people who may have fallen on hard times and are able to recover before anything bad happens. And we'll get into also like how that actually carries out with required legal notifications and research and a mandatory, information that has to be provided to the tax debtor. There's an interesting dichotomy of purpose, if you will, to the investment, both as a financial return and reward, but also as a local part to play in keeping the community, moving forward, evolving, and not letting it fall into disrepair.
Thank you for that. And so, just so that we're applying the appropriate chronology here, this episode is This is about the changes in the law. Obviously, what you just mentioned, that's the, you know, the foundation for all of this and the why. But what we're trying to figure out in this episode is basically what changed. So the old system has been replaced with a new system, and these laws go into effect in 2 days. So
in Louisiana,
in Louisiana,
right.
But just so the listeners kind of understand, and I know this could be an opportunity to go down the detail rabbit hole, but just in a couple of minutes, how would you summarize the changes that take effect in a couple of days?
Well, Louisiana's changes are comprehensive, but they also speak to a national trend of changes,
okay.
Which stems from largely from a U.S. Supreme Court case that came out a few years ago called the Tyler case. That if you're in the industry, you've probably heard, you've hoped you've heard of it by now. But this was not a controversial, it was unanimous 9-0 decision, and it was to require that if a county was going to foreclose on a tax lien property, meaning that it was the delinquent taxes were sold to an investor, and in the allowed period of time for the tax debtor to pay that back, they failed to do so, then the consequence of that was a foreclosure, just like a mortgage foreclosure.
Right.
If you don't pay back the mortgage, even with late fees, the county forecloses on the property, means they put it up for sale at an auction. There's a high bidder, and someone buys it at whatever the highest price is. Well, the original debt was not a mortgage; it was tax, right? So you might imagine that tax is going to be a lot lower than maybe what that house sold for. So there's usually that's the case, and if that creates a surplus. Is it more money that they brought in from the auction than was owed to pay back the debt that created the thing in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
And lots of states didn't have a process for preserving that surplus for the rightful owner of the property who didn't pay their debt, but had the house foreclosed on, taken. And instead of providing that surplus equity that was generated from the sale to the homeowner or even some other lien holders who may have been entitled to it, they just kept it.
Huh.
And so that kind of seemed wrong. And so they went up to the Supreme Court and they said, yeah, no question about it. You know, the penalty has to fit the crime,
right?
So to speak. It was a violation of due process and of, excessive fines and penalties, et cetera. And they eventually said that the Supreme Court can't tell the states how to legislate, but they can say what you can't do is you can't not have a process that tries to return the surplus back to the tax debtor after a foreclosure. You have to at least have a reasonable process to try to get that money that's owed to the homeowner back to them. And the state of Minnesota, or as it turns out, Hennepin County did not have that. And that's what changed the whole thing. Now, the other states who were not in that case, but self-reflected and said, wait a minute, we have that too. Maybe we should stop, change that. And to some degree, Louisiana had a process like that, but not quite as onerous as other states. As you started seeing all these states just self-correcting their legislation based upon the Supreme Court case saying, oh, shoot, now we need to preserve the surplus and make sure that we have a process to get it back to the homeowner.
Cool.
And so a lot of changes stem from that. Louisiana's are a little different story behind all of those, and it was actually started back in 2009 when Louisiana last revised its tax sale code significantly, but left its constitution untouched as it pertains to tax sales. And there's some core components of what defined Louisiana tax sales that were just baked into the constitution, and unfortunately, those had to be eventually changed. And that's what was part of this comprehensive overhaul from 2024, and is kicking off in a few days.
Cool. And so kind of coming full circle, you just kind of explained the foundation and the why behind this particular 10 episode series.
Yeah.
So if you, do you want to kind of give, so who could benefit from this podcast? It's a pretty wide cross section of folks.
Well, obviously this is intended for someone who's interested in tax sale investing. That means, but there's two distinct camps. One is you already are investing in Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
How does this change? What do I do now?
Right.
How should I change my strategy?
Right.
Or how do I need to act differently or expect different results maybe? And the second camp are those who maybe are in tax sale investing, but not in Louisiana.
Right.
And maybe had dismissed investing in Louisiana because it's that crazy kooky system of bidding down ownership and voodoo this and Mardi Gras that. And it's like, wait a minute, what are they doing down there? And in fact, a lot of that's true. A lot of it was crazy and kooky, and this changes all that. So do these changes now change your outlook on investing in Louisiana? Like all of a sudden now we should. And that's what I'm hearing a lot from the larger investor community is, hey, does this make sense now? Should we come into Louisiana now? This looks familiar. This looks like what we studied in other states, you know? And so I think it's changing the landscape of who's investing in Louisiana. But at the same time, you have technology, which is advancing so rapidly. It's also making the opportunities for greater access to it at the same time, not just Louisiana, mind you, but at the same time that the laws may be normalizing insofar as complexity and confusion, technology is creating more access. So it's a lot of moving parts at one time.
Right.
And it's just really interesting to be a part of that journey and helping to create that outcome.
So what I'm picking up is you might have, you know, enterprise customers that could benefit from understanding what Jurisdeed has to offer. And then anybody who owns tax liens or anybody who is prospectively interested in investing in this class, and just anybody who's fascinated by all this stuff, anybody that's fascinated with Louisiana's admittedly goof. By the way, Stephen and I are both Louisiana barred attorneys who both
disclosure.
Just, yeah.
Who are not giving you disclosure now.
So we, the kooky whatever is a term of endearment. But anyway, this kind
we
of
love our state.
Yeah, this kind of pulls it full circle. So again, this is the first episode in a 10-episode series where we're explaining why, and you know, just to kind of give a flavor of what's to come. The next episode is going to, you know, Stephen talked about bidding down percentages and all this other stuff, right. And that's more of the substantive law and the nuts and bolts and some of the more kooky versions of what's going on here. But that's in the next episode.
But I think what was important about this first episode too is to really tie in like the Louisiana is the first one we're diving into, but the changes at some level are really representative of what's happening on the national scene.
Absolutely.
And so you know whether read the title of this podcast episode or start listening to it and think it's all about Louisiana. And actually, in fact, this episode we're referencing Louisiana as being our first case study, which we're going to dive into in the next episodes. But a lot of the evolution of what's happening right now is not unique to Louisiana and is happening across all the states. And so that's what's really exciting about this and why, you know, our kicking off this podcast now is so exciting and how we can be a part of this.
Absolutely.
And so some of these greater national trends are something to be aware of. And one of the biggest ones that also we're going to get into is when we dive into the Louisiana example in a few episodes is this trend of, you mentioned that like the enterprise level customers, mm-hmm. like the big institutions, and that's who's dominated the space to begin with. But they're changing too. And
Absolutely.
They're becoming aware that having a big, huge warehouse of staff isn't necessarily the most efficient way to go about this anymore. Training all your own lawyers and paralegals and administrative, building your own, $500,000 systems in-house, and why? Because though that was in the past, that was the only way to overcome the challenges of becoming successful in this industry, in this investment. They overcame it because that's how worth it was to do it. It was, let's go hire whoever it takes. Let's go build whatever it takes because it's so worth it to be a part of this. And no one else had the means to do that, right? Technology as it is today means that not only is it more accessible to more people, but the enterprise is learning too that we don't actually need all those people. They're better off outsourcing to companies like what Jurisdeed is building. They're better off reducing staff, and focusing on what they're best at, spotting investments, spotting trends, and
local and partnerships,
strategic partnerships,
yeah.
Making, decisions about when to pull the trigger on certain things and when to liquidate. Those are what investors are best at, not at figuring out how the law changed in Louisiana and how it's different in Tennessee and re-educating all the different attorneys in different states and trying to keep up with the different deliverables. That's just not the most efficient way to go about this investment anymore. In fact, the way that the return on investment has changed because of the Tyler case, the surplus used to be part of their, although albeit a small overall part, it was a part of the investment return.
Yeah.
but it can't be anymore. So how does that change the bottom line for investors?
As the process becomes a lot more important, and
how efficient it costs to get to liquidity
correct. Is very important.
And how fast, right?
Yeah.
And so how efficient, how fast can you get to liquidity with your lien, with your portfolio management, right, is everything if you want to maintain the level of returns or anything close to it that you were experiencing in years past. Now that surplus is off the table, you better be looking at the efficiency of your operations and how you can streamline that. And Jurisdeed is going to be one of those tools that allows investors to do that.
That's, man, I love it. So basically, that's the 10 episode shakeout in a nutshell. So how do people find out about, if somebody wants to go and find out a little bit more about you, or if somebody wants to talk to you or find out a little bit more about Jurisdeed or whatever, how do they go about doing that?
Yeah, we have our website, it's jurisdeed.com, J-U-R-S-D-E-E-D. And we have our, basically it's a landing page for what's to come. We're still building the platform out right now. We are taking on some early wait list folks right now and going to have a small release in the first quarter of 2026, which we're very excited about. And this platform will allow an investor to use it to manage their portfolio. And using AI, using technology to help manage it without having a big staff and without having all the cumbersome processes that used to have in the past. Also, like, subscribe, watch the video, share it as much as you can. We're also on LinkedIn. We're posting 3 times a week, helpful content. And as much as possible, and true to the mission that we're pushing here of creating better access to information, is we want to be able to provide as much helpful insights that's valuable Absolutely. To being successful in this investment to as many people as possible. It's really, really hard. We find that I believe that the true value in what we can do for investors will come through the product and through our customer service, and that the best we can do right now is to tell the world about who we are, what we're trying to do, and what our information can do for them.
Sounds good. So, until next time, I'm George Jackson.
I'm Stephen Morrell.
This is the Jurisdeed Podcast, and we'll see you next time.
See you then.
Thanks, folks. Thanks.